Yeah, but it's working.
Yeah, it was.
It's working good. I mean,
talking about how perfect that day was, not only was it the temperatures are right this time, right now, right? If somebody asked me, was like, why don't you post when we're going to go fishing? One, there would be a million people out there. But two, you ought to be going fishing on these days.
A million people don't care about when you're going fishing.
Well, you know what I mean. I don't want to be co-responsible, like, you know.
Right, yeah. No, like, and
yeah.
We ran into those dudes, I mean.
Yeah, they were out there.
They were out there before we were.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, we ran into them. I mean,
and that's awesome. But you know, yeah. For us, it's just
it so happened they were all lined up. Everybody was lined up, and where I caught my fish was the piling before everyone. Everyone was piling set pile. You know what I mean? Lined up on the next set of pilings. I got to the first piling with nobody because I had stayed at the
Yancey for a while.
Yancey for another 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
Moved out there, stopped at the first piling. Nobody was at. Blast them. Ryan Clark was sitting next to me at one point. He's just like jaw dropped. Like, what is? As soon as the bait gets to the bottom, I'm just either hooking one or dropping my bait back down to hook him. You know what I mean? It was
hot rodding Lee show.
Like, yeah, that's your thing, man.
It is. It is. Totally is.
I love it. Dog fishing is so much fun. I can fish with bait. I can put my bait on a jig head. I've done that.
Yeah.
My boy Damien does it. Billy's not special.
Well, that's cool. I'm not saying I am. That was a first for me.
I did see a bunch of guys buying jigs talking about tog fishing. I don't know. They were buying those little Lucanus jigs. And so, uh-oh.
Should we get them? There we go.
Yeah. We're back. We got power.
Up. All right.
Welcome back. And.
Yep.
Cool. We're good?
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking about when you just got off is how perfect of the day that was. When you look at the temperatures right now, it's the right temperatures. And especially on that day, if you look at the currents, how it was a 0.6 current, I think in the afternoon, a 0.7 in the morning. So that's a doable fisher, you know, you can fish all through that current. Because that's the main thing is fishing the bridge is that those strong ass currents in the middle of the current flow, it's too rough to fish a lot of times. It's too hard to fish that depth. Using 10 ounces a lot of times to do it. But that day was perfect. We didn't have to tie off.
Yeah.
We didn't have to do any of that stuff. So that was that was like the perfect day of a tog fishing.
It really was.
Yeah.
Super good times. It's pretty rare. No, it's really rare for it to be that way. I mean, I've been out so many times where it's just northeast wind, and it's to be expected this time of year, but it's nice when it just lays out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the bait dies down so fast when it just lays out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The bait turns slick as glass super fast, back in action. I mean, it had blown. You guys went trout fishing the night before, but that morning it was blowing 20.
Yep.
Yeah.
And by that evening, the picture at sunset was glass.
Yep.
But especially those currents. For me, it's those currents, because you can fish all day.
Especially, yeah.
Yeah, you can fish all day with that.
In the middle of that moon phase.
Yeah. Yep. But, you know, we got stripers coming up. You know, Rob was asking, and other people have been asking about it. So what do you think about the stripers this year? What do you
go for them.
Well, right now, with the
take your paleontologist with you.
Yes. Dinosaurs.
You have to find them first, Billy. That takes archaeologists. You can't study a dinosaur until you found them. Archaeologists find the damn things. Paleontologists study them.
You're an ass. I'm
trying to call somebody out all the time.
Fuck you, Lee.
So find out who I gotta call once I catch one of these motherfuckers.
Fucking call me, I don't care.
But from, I guess my opinion on what I'm seeing right now is these cold fronts are good cold fronts. These are solid, hard, you know, winter blast cold fronts. But in the middle of between them, it turns around and gets warm like it did today. And then we get the nice blast of cold fronts. Typically, from what I remember, when we had these patterns before, that set up a good positioning of these fish coming on all at once. That was like the years when we had in 2007. Yeah. You know, those when we had masses of fish, where we can go out there and catch a lot of them, or they're concentrated where you can really get into them. Don't know how long it's going to last, of course, with the cold fronts after that. But right now, that seems to be setting up in that scenario. But, you know, it could all change. It could be all different. The bait migration might be different. Who knows? But right now, that's my opinion on it. I think it looks like it looks good.
Right. The fish have to be here. If the abundance of fish is still an abundance of fish, then they should be migrating the way they did a few years ago.
And I believe there is. I mean, I haven't seen it from my own eyes, but the guys going out the tuna fishing have seen them offshore in the last couple of years, and there's been a mile of them. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. So it seems like there's still a mass of fish. Not like you feel the way it feels around here, where it feels like it's thinning out. So
it could be the whole bait issue. There's bait out there.
Right. And they get pushed off. But those years were odd winters, too. Yeah. And right now they're in Jersey, right? The last reports I saw of big ones in the ocean were coming down from Jersey. So that's, from what I understand, that's what's happening.
I can't read it all. For some reason, it won't.
Do we got a lot of questions?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's
a
lot of shit talking, too.
Okay.
The best about what we were on Talkfishing a little bit ago, and we did have a question about the best shaped sinkers. We all differ on that. I buy bank sinkers because I've pulled the swivels and the thing out of the. I used to try the inline trolling sinkers, but I've twisted and bent and had that cut my line. You know what I mean? The bank sinkers, which are the, I don't know, the teardrop.
The ones with
the teardrop without the swivel.
Without the swivel top, yeah, the lead the top. Lead hook. That's what I prefer. I prefer those the best. They're the strongest. They don't. If you can pull it out, you'll get it out because you don't have a swivel to break or the metal to break. So if you can pull it out, you'll get it out, and if not, the line's gonna break.
A piece of advice though on that is make sure that when they cut them, if there's any left over on the mold, it doesn't leave a sharp edge for you.
Yeah.
Because I had one break me off yesterday, and when I tied it on, I knew it was a sharp edge.
Yeah.
And I go and pull it up, and
the sinker just broke off the end.
No, yeah, come on, and inside
sliced through my
leader. On the inside of the loop. You said about the inline sinkers.
Yeah,
those are cool. Those the theory of those is being able to drop them into spots. But for me, they roll. I get a false weird. I can't get as tight.
They'll really find a small spot to find and wedge into too.
Now I like the bell sinkers with the swivels on it because they sit nice.
Right.
I have a nice contact with the bottom, and that's why I like them. They do. The swivels do break.
I believe that 90% of the time I'm holding my sinker standing up.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm letting my.
No,
exactly. Even my bank sinker layover,
and that's
another thing to tog fishing is if your line isn't tight, you're not
at all,
catch them.
Not at all. And that's
why I caught one with a rod in the rod holder.
Yeah.
Because I took it one crank off the bottom and set it in the rod holder, and he bit it enough to take the hook. Yeah. But if it had been a sinker laying on the bottom and not tight, they would have just snatched the bait off all that.
Yeah.
But I was cutting up another piece of bait or something in my lap, and I just set the rod there for a second, and took one turn on the handle, and like looked up, and it was. Ready to go.
Of course.
Oh, I got another one.
But yeah, that
there's a lot of guys that use Carolina rigs for them.
For what?
Yeah.
Carolina rigs?
A lot of guys that use Carolina rigs for them. I know, obviously, the guys up north are using the jig heads nowadays.
Yeah.
If you break off on a Carolina rig, though, man, you lose everything. You're losing everything. My rigs are dropper loops because I'm trying to lose a sinker. My sinker is the weakest knot.
Right.
I'm trying to lose a sinker if I lose anything.
Yeah. And as I show in the DVD, I do the one loop on the bottom, and that breaks it. That breaks it always off, and we pretty much get our hooks back.
I'll even do an extra. I'll even put one more extra overhand knot between the dropper loop and the sinker loop.
Just to give it
it'll break.
One overhand knot, just a single overhand, and it becomes a pinch point. And I proved it to me yesterday. That's exactly where it broke off, twice at least.
It's a great idea, too.
Yeah, that is a good spot.
Yep.
I never thought about that.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yep. All right, any more questions on
that? And then when you bring it up like that, then you cut off all the junk, and then you take the hook off the loop that you had before. That becomes a weight loop.
Yep.
And then you make more loop of it, and you're good to go again.
Yep. That's the thing about having those just slipping hooks on, because one, you can change them out if they get smashed up.
Somebody want to know why Billy hates ducks.
Yeah. Or why do you? That was the.
Why do you report all Seth's ducks? Why do you report all Seth's pictures, man?
I wish I could take credit for that. I would have loved to have been reporting.
Man, it's Seth's so bugs. Fun to bother people on the internet. I wish it was me too.
What it is one of our buddies.
Trolling is awesome.
One of our buddies went duck hunting and took a picture of the ducks. You know his kill for the day on top of his kayak, and people, you know, somebody reported it as
over top of the Old Town Predator.
Bukowski was like, I'm offended that you weren't in a wildy, you know.
Bukowski.
Yeah. What'd I say? Bukowski. Bukowski. I meant to say Bukowski.
Did we come up with the type of anchoring on the piling and the type of anchor we have? And did it exist anywhere, or trial and error? How did we come up with it? The history of anchoring on the pilings. Boaters traditionally used to be allowed to just tie up to the piling. Right. So they would roll up to the piling, traditionally, with a boat bumper, or what do they call that thing? A polyball or a boat bumper, attached to a rope, and that would be tied to the cleat of the front of the boat. You roll up with a guy to the front of the boat, past the piling, throw that son of a bitch through there, let the line come back. You drop the boat back, the line comes back around, you grab it with the boat hook, pull your loop tight to as close to the piling as you feel comfortable, or how big ever the waves are going up and down, you know what I mean? You don't want to, you're trying not to slam the hell out of your boat onto the piling.
Mm-hmm. But that's what, before,
but that's before 9/11.
9/11 stopped that. Now, how our anchors came about, no, so yeah, it was a technique that was by boats, of course. We
would do that if we could. It would almost be as easy as what we do now, and I've done it before.
Right.
But what we do now is just a simpler version of that.
It's technically, it's illegal, so we're not going to exactly give details about that, and it's in a video, you know. So, but where our anchors came from were
here,
and this was the idea. Rick came up with this idea. He was like, because we were thinking about, you know, we were actually figuring out how to kayak talk fish, right? That was when we were trying to figure it out, and. It was, you know, the idea of, you know, a ball, just anything that you can hook into the rocks, you know, the old style, you know, bucket of lead or whatever, bucket of rocks.
Right.
And then Rick was the idea of the pier anchor, was it the pier?
It's a pin rig anchor.
Right.
So it's essentially like a Sputnik, you know what I mean? Basically. And it's got wire coming out of it. Different types. And you know what I mean? That was the start.
That was the beginning of the idea. And then it was, of course, just to kind of beef it up and put bigger tines in it. And then you started doing them at work
I would buy conduit.
Right. And this is the easiest way to do it. Now, I sell them on my site. I don't sell many of them because it's hard to get them made and all that stuff. But the idea was, what I was going to sell on my site, was people copy it and find your own lead pours and do it out
yourself. Right, just do yourself.
And this
it's
one,
so
that
easy.
We did at the beginning.
I took, all you need is the ground, something to melt lead in, and conduit. I cut the conduit to however long, however heavy you want the anchors.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you take your metal rods. Originally, we were using like coat hangers.
Right, which would rust out.
And rust out, everything. Eventually, what did we end up using?
Welding sticks or something like that.
I mean, I used welding rods and that
didn't work either.
They didn't work out.
Yeah, went through a bunch of stuff, and now
I can't remember what the last thing we ended up using
was. It's stainless steel. You're just using stainless steel rods or something.
Yeah,
like
that. We go to get these rods from actually. No, it was regular steel that I was making them out of.
Yeah.
I never made the stainless. It's just regular steel, small, little, tiny, like eighth inch or a quarter inch from actually probably like eighth inch from Home Depot or Lowe's.
Right.
And you would set it, stab those into the ground as deep as you wanted to make your hooks. Set your PVC or set your conduit on top of that. Make a ring on top of that, on top of the thing. Pour the lead in till it hit the ground, and then reach the top and stop. Let it cool off, and you have an anchor made. You just grab it out of the ground, lift it up out of the ground, bend your tines around, and you got a grappling hook.
Yeah.
So anyway, now we use we went up to like a pound, 2 pounds.
Right. We made small ones that were like 8 ounces, I think, and we started figuring out it, over the tubes. they weren't dropping fast enough for us to hook up. So if you're in a current and we're, you know, we have the tube and we're dropping here and trying to hook up, we would have to go way out and let it sink. So we need to figure out, okay, for the tubes, we need heavier weights just to drop them, to set and, you know, get in position. Now for the pilings, we drop down to the lighter ones because we're not trying to get to the bottom. We're just using them for a counterweight, basically the other side.
Yeah, literally. The counterweight just holds in the current a little bit. The buoy holds in the current a little bit.
Then your rope.
The kayaks are so light, the rope is essentially Velcro.
Yeah.
It sticks in the barnacles and the oysters, and you just are basically Velcroed into your spot.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of how the evolution of them came to. It was really just anchoring into the rocks most of the time, but then really found out that the lighter ones and that piling technique, which is illegal.
Jesus.
What did Shane say?
Shane wants Al and Rob to go in the MMA octagon. Rob kind of reminds me of a ninja, but Al's a drunken marine. Awesome. Oh, man, do we have pencils anywhere? I wish I had pencils.
What was that?
Shane wants to see a pencil fight on the podcast. Make it happen. No, he wants to see us like pencil fight on the podcast. Number two is coming up next podcast. We're going to have to get Shane in here, man, and we're all going to pencil fight. We're going to have a tournament. We'll get everybody we know to be on the podcast, and we'll just have a pencil fighting tournament.
No, we need some pencils.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jewels with the designs on them.
Yep.
Look for the ones that are solid, not with the one with a split in it.
That's apparently right. Shane's bouncing off container ships and running ashore.
That's Shane's buddy. Don't beat it.
Is that a legitimate question there?
Yeah.
What we got? I can't read.
It says, Kev, is all that you do with kayak fishing your job? Where is kayak fishing on a commercial business level?
Oh, well, for me, I mean, no, I have a bill-paying job at Appomattox River Company, and so that's the job. But, yeah, what I do with this stuff is a full-on job, too. I mean, it's at that level, but it's not making a living, but it's a full-on, the time-wise, it is.
Right.
Yeah.
You just devoted yourself to your passion and love for the sport. You promote it. Get a little bit back from it, but not nearly.
It keeps going.
What you get back from it is not nearly what you put in.
What I basically did was set up a situation where I could keep fishing. And
right.
I have to fish in order to keep doing this. So it's kind of like a cycle. It's just a rotating cycle that keeps feeding into each other. And that's basically what I'm not like making a living off of where I'm retiring, like anything like that. It's not even close because all that, any money I make off of it goes right back into it. And just to keep me on the water. And it's kind of like you got to be on the water to be able to talk about fishing. You can't like quit fishing and then talk about fishing. or kayaking.
Oh no, to do that, you have to go back and work at the tackle shop because that's what people at the tackle shop do. So we have a real legit question. Explain the excitement of tog fishing. Never caught one, and curious why.
Andrea, last week, I got to see somebody who never tog fished.
Yeah.
Got to see her.
I've taken several people.
And it's tricky as fuck.
They're not the easiest thing in the world to hook.
Super target. Like you said, you have to have your weight. I mean, all these little things, these little nuances that we were talking about are what you have to do to be able to do it. So you have to be real. You have to have a lot of line awareness. You have to know what's going on underneath that water and what's going on with your bait. And then it comes to the bite. You know, you basically have to swing in anything. But once you do hook one, it's a real hard pull. It's heavy. It's tricky getting around the structure. It's not a huge fish, but it's a really fun fish.
So the first probably 3 seconds are the most fun because it's like as soon as you hook up and that first 3 seconds, it is trying everything it can possibly do to get back in that hole.
And those first three seconds are the most important.
And I guess that's the rush of it for me. That's where the most adrenaline is running for me. And I get so excited and when that weight, when you first set the hook, when you know it's a really good fish, you'll know immediately. And it's on, dude. It's so exciting.
And it's also fishing exciting when you get to somewhere and start catching fish instantly. If you're a fisherman, you're excited. You know what I mean? And that's the way it can be. And then it's also exciting because some days you can sit around and you know you're going to get a bite.
That's what I'm saying.
And you can feel like you know.
No, you can feel them on your line sometimes. You can feel them breathing on it. If you, once you get where you're really super sensitive with the line, super tight, you know, like you're using 6 ounces, you're tight as shit on your line. We're using braid. You can feel everything down there. And a lot of times you can feel them rubbing on your line and you go, oh, here it comes, right? I mean, Lee, you looked at me while I was trying to adjust my paddle and saw it hit.
I'm just watching the rod just go thwink, 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 and I'm just smiling. Like, the smile gets bigger and bigger every time the line just snatches.
And I'm like trying to put my paddle down and set the hook. But I went back and we're like, okay, he's there. So I'm like excited. I'm like, I'm focused now. I'm like, I'm on it. Okay, there he's got it. Bam. But that's, there's a lot of that.
Post more shark fishing videos?
Fuck this.
Sharks are just, it's so boring. I mean, Rob put out a Rob video. I mean, you went shark fishing for a reason. And people have their reasons to go shark fishing, you know what I mean?
And you call it shallow water, too, which is a vertical, a horizontal fight.
But I mean, people put out these videos of hooking these sharks, and then they're like, oh, I got this awesome thing. This thing literally hooks you up and pulls you around forever and ever and ever. And every time you get it close to the boat, it either explodes in excitement or you're too scared to deal with it. You know what I mean? It's just whatever, man. I've seen them. I cut them off. I don't even fuck with them.
For me, it's just the fight themselves. It's not a consistent fight. It's a weird fight. Unorthodox. It's not really that fun as like a red or.
It's almost like they give up at times.
Yeah, and then they die, and then you get them close, and you think you can do something,
and they're full blown power again,
and then they explode and break your fucking shit like a ray. It's just stupid. I don't fuck with it. I don't.
And that's one of the reasons why I don't target them either. Just as the fun factor isn't there. I mean, like Rob, you target them for a trophy for the expert.
Right.
I'll be honest. I would go like maybe once a year on a Shits and Giggles kind of trip where I'm not taking it seriously. And if I get over it, I just start cutting lines or, you know, whatever.
Well, also, I like that in the shallow water because it's a horizontal fight.
I like that way more in the shallow water than
crazy
I used to.
Cutbacks and you had to.
I've gone through 25, 30 kingfish rig, king rig days trying to
it's
throw for
ridiculous.
Kings off the ocean front, so I don't. I don't do it anymore. I hate it.
There's a big part of it that just thinks of them as just nuisances.
Right. Right.
I don't kill them. You know what I mean?
I
don't do that.
I like the sharks. I just don't like to catch them.
We need those to kill the rays.
Yeah.
Ray populations seem like to be equaling out or something.
Oh my god! You didn't see the end of the year.
Yeah.
Dude, acres and acres and acres.
I saw plenty.
We were catching those cobias top of, like, the rays were so thick, it was easy to, you would just look out for like 150 yards and be like, oh, there's cobias over there. Because it was just like tan and then chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thick. Like 6 inches from each other, 2 feet down, or 3 feet down, miles.
Yeah. No, well, we saw them over in the Eastern Shore plenty, but it seems like they're not as, like, fishing here. You know, we're fishing HRBT where you're snagging them every cast.
It's right.
It doesn't seem that thick. It wasn't, that was bad when it was that, when you couldn't inshore fish.
Right.
You couldn't inshore fish because you were losing jigs just to rays. Any questions? Any more questions? Any more legit questions?
No.
Come on, Alva, that's a lot of thread on there. That was that?
Dude,
drop fishing?
Yeah, well, we got a lot of, try Google Plus next time. About my modem speed was bad 45 minutes ago.
No.
So a thread for that.
No questions.
Tog fishing.
Sell any kayak
question.
You have DVDs?
That's right.
That's it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This was fun.
This
was alright. Cool.
I mean, Rob's like basically here in the room.
Yeah. When my computer's powered up.
Yeah, so we're going to, hopefully we'll be able to do this again and be able to, I'm going to set this up at my house where it's going to be like full computer set to it.
He can't see you no matter how hard you look at that.
I know,
right,
I'm just looking at him.
No matter how hard you look at the face, he can't see you.
And that's another thing, maybe I'll have another one where the person on Skype can actually see us, and you know. So I'm going to have it set up, I'm going to set it up where it's maybe right. So we'll have this studio, we'll have the Lee studio, and we'll have my studio.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you're welcome to do anything here.
Well, I'm going to set up my computer there. I'm going to move my computer every day we do this. So,
oh, your big computer.
Yeah.
Work computer.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah, full-on work computer is going to be doing that. Nice. Doing that work. And so then also, we'll be able to, I'm going to try to push the show up to like five shows a month. So.
Oh, what's a citation?
Of dog?
No. What is a citation?
Oh,
Virginia and North Carolina, I know, have a program that rewards people for catching trophy-sized fish. Whatever they decide for that size fish should be commendable, they award you either plaque or plaque and you know, certificate for that plaque, or a lot of people that just have a lot of plaques or get a lot, or some people just put them in a booklet. They offer it in just like a booklet page.
What the citation is the piece of paper that says you caught a trophy in Virginia. And that's what that is. So when we say citation, I know it always sounds
trophy.
Like, well, it always sounds like you got in trouble, right? You got a ticket.
Yeah, like
citation,
down
right?
Yeah.
So that I understand where that comes from, but yeah, it's actually a trophy for us. It's a trophy fish. Yeah,
and I mean, like. Honestly, the speckled trout up here, you know, a 24-inch speckled trout is nothing to shake a stick at, but there's so many of them.
Well,
being caught.
You know, well, somebody, did Jake Hiles bring up this, where he bringing up the citation size, or somebody brought this, maybe Andrew, one of these guys brought up the idea of bringing up, you know, spec sizes to 26.
Yeah.
That would be a good.
Specs up, cobia's up, red's up.
Red's up. He says 50, I'm thinking 48.
Yeah,
48 is a citation. That's when you, that should be a citation.
Well, just because
they also
conservation practices.
We got more of that.
But the thing about it is, it was designed for tourist industry start with.
Yeah,
and you sell these people licenses, these boats, sell these trips, send the people a piece of paper. You know what I mean? Afford them the opportunity to come down here. And,
well,
you know
it's
what I mean?
it's big time for that. When I worked at the tackle shop, there's a lot of tourists coming because they want to get their citation because they come down every year to fish with their charter to get this citation.
It's a momentum.
Yeah.
But for us, the way I kind of look at it is it's a point that I'm striving.
Gone.
We dropped Rob.
goodbye, Rob.
But it's that point that...
Coming back.
Hey,
you still there?
I want to get... to this point and then exceed that point.
Yeah.
So it might not necessarily be what other people would consider a trophy fish, but...
Well, it's just like, you know, well, it used to be like catching a citation drum, but now it's like, oh, I hope we get a 50-incher.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's trying to get a 50-incher.
Yeah, you get that 40.
Because that's,
that
for
45,
us...
now let's get that 50.
Because that is a trophy for us. That's because we've caught the citation sizes, and there's a lot of those around. You have a lot of shot at that. You have a slighter, smaller shot at a 50-incher, but it's being more possible to do it. So it's exciting to have that.
Is Rob back on? Nope.
Yeah, I heard that.
Okay, you heard us. Cool.
Yep.
All right, so any more questions on there?
No.
Looking through the questions, I think we're going to wrap it up. All right. Thank you guys for watching, and we still got a few viewers on here live. Thank you.
Yeah. Cool.
And I'm stoked for the Skype thing we had going on.
I was just down at 7, now it's back up at 9.
Yeah.
Huh.
We're doing all right.
Just goes up and down. I know that we went up to 13, but Scott and Chrissy both had it on their phone and their computers checking it out at the same time.
Cool.
So that would add 4 people instantly.
Yes. thanks to Yak Attack, and that's yakattack.us, and the Kayak Kevin DVDs at kayakkevin.com. See you guys.
All right.
Later.